Hi there. Welcome to C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about us, check out our website, c3church.hk. Enjoy the message and God bless.
Well, we're in this wonderful series called The Habits of Happiness. Habits of Happiness. And it's all about looking at those habits that will create happiness in our lives. Now, like I said last week, these habits, they're pretty simple. They're pretty basic. And you've heard them all before. You probably know every single one of them. And they're so easy to explain. It is so easy to stand up behind the pulpit and teach them, but they're so hard to do. So difficult to do because we naturally, we always want to do the opposite. We naturally always want to go to the opposite of the positive and the good thing. And we seem to naturally want to do the negative or the fleshly thing the way the Bible says it. So the real purpose of this series is to get you doing these habits rather than just hearing about them. James 1:22 says, be a doer of the word rather than just a hearer. Last week I opened with five laws of happiness before we actually got into the message. And I want to repeat those five laws just for you today for the people who might be visiting. But also, before we bring those habits up on the screen, I'd love to see you with phones in your hand and you're getting your thumbs like this because you're taking notes. Or maybe you like to do it the old way, pen and paper, and you're taking notes. I really want to encourage you to be a church that takes notes because I'm thinking if you are anything like me, by the time we get to the end of the service and we walk out, I've preached the message and still can't remember it. You know what I'm saying? So if I said, what, do you know the five laws? But if you write them down, you've got them with you. In fact, you can just do it easy. You can take a little picture of the screen. So let's look at these five laws real quickly before we get into the message. Number one, don't look for happiness. Create it. Create it. Happiness, often many people look for happiness on the outside. They're looking for things to make them happy, whether it's circumstances, situations, occasions, events, people. But happiness is created from within. Number two, happiness is not a goal. Happiness is not your goal. It's just a byproduct. And happiness is produced through right thinking and right actions. Now, if you make happiness your goal, you will become a very self-centered person. Everything will be things or people or situations trying to make you happy. It's you right there at the center, but you'll become very self-centered. And actually what happens is the opposite occurs. You become unhappy. You become depressed. You become sad, frustrated, angry. Number three, my habits create my happiness. I must first shape my habits, and then my habits will begin to shape me. And this series is all about creating the habits or shaping the habits that will create happiness in your life. Number four, happiness based on circumstances is temporary. Happiness based on habits is long-lasting. You see, happiness, if it's based on occasions, it will only last as long as the occasion. But if you want long-lasting happiness, it's got to be something that is coming from within. If I want to be happily married all the days of my life, I cannot expect my wife to be constantly making me happy. It's got to come from within. Number five, happy habits are addictive as bad habits. Do you know you weren't born with any bad habits, but you did develop those bad habits over a period of time? And it's the same with good habits. Good habits take time to develop. So therefore, you need to be patient with yourself. You've got to put a plan in place so you will intentionally begin to establish these good, healthy habits in your life, because they won't naturally come. We will naturally default toward the negative. But to create these positive, good habits, we have to have a plan to begin to practice them. But once you've got them in place, they will happen and come naturally. Amen. So this series is all about helping you create those habits that create happiness in your life. One of the biggest traps to happiness is what we call when and then thinking. When I win the lottery, then I will be happy. Or when I get married, then I'll truly be happy. Or when I finally have a child, I'll be happy. When something happens, then I will be happy. But it's simply not true. Happiness is a choice. It's something that you create. And when you live by when and then thinking, negative things can happen, and then they will become a barrier to happiness in your life. It could be something painful, could be problems, it could be pressure, it could be difficult people in your life, but as soon as they come into your life, they'll become a barrier to your happiness. And our text for this series is from the book of Philippians, and the Apostle Paul, he's the author, and it says he was just so happy. He talks about in four small chapters, he was talking about happiness and rejoicing and gladness and joy on no less than 21 times. So he's filled with this happiness, yet he was regularly experiencing all those things in his life, like pain and problems and difficult people and persecution and pressures and all those types of things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it will not come up on the screen, but he talks about all of those things. Look what it says. He was put in prison more often than others. He was whipped without number. He faced death again and again. Five times the Jewish leaders gave him 39 lashes. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. Three times shipwrecked. Once he spent the whole night and the entire day drifting on the oceans, wondering whether he'd make it, wondering whether a shark would come and get him. He faced danger from rivers, robbers, Jews and Gentiles. He faced danger in the city, danger in the desert, danger out there at sea. He worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. He's been hungry and thirsty. He's often gone without food. He's shivered in the cold, and he's been without clothing to keep warm. Now, when you read that list, Paul has every reason to be unhappy, yet he's full of joy and he's full of happiness. And that's because he knows happiness is not something that comes from the outside making him happy. Happiness is a choice made on the inside. Let's have a look at our text for today. Now, just to fill you in, the Apostle Paul writes this book of Philippians. It's a letter. It's a thank you letter. He's writing it from a prison cell in Rome. It's a letter to the Philippians, the Philippian church, 1,300 kilometers away. Now, when Paul first decides to go to Rome, what he's thinking of is, I want to evangelize Rome. I'm going to rent out the Colosseum. I'm going to hold a C3 presence. I'm going to fill it with 50,000 people. I'm going to lead them to Jesus. So that was Paul's goal, but God's goal was to put him in prison. You see, Paul wanted to win Rome, but God wanted to win the entire world. And as soon as Paul was in the prison, what he started doing was writing all these letters to all the churches, the church in Rome, the church in Corinth and Philippi and Colossae and Ephesus and Thessalonica, all these churches. He's writing letter after letter. And could he have ever known that those letters were going to become the Holy Bible? How did he know that it was the Holy Spirit who was inspiring him to write every little thing that he wrote down? And today, Paul, most of those letters have become the about two-thirds of the New Testament. And it's the Holy Bible today going all around the world. How amazing is that? Amen? So that was God's goal. He wanted to get that gospel out to the entire world. Now, we're going to read from Philippians 1, verses 12 to about 27. Paul says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. In other words, they're growing in boldness. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Yes, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motive or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is by far better. But it is more necessary that I remain in the body. Why? So he can keep encouraging the church. He can be writing these letters. He can be encouraging all the great disciples, Timothy, Epaphroditus, and all these other guys. But Paul says in verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a worthy manner of the gospel of Christ. Say whatever. Not like a teenager talking back to their parents, but whatever happens. Paul says, I can be happy. Today's message is how to be happy no matter what. Doesn't matter what happens. Good, bad, ugly. You can still be happy. You can still be joyful. And Paul's life is a testimony to that truth. You can be happy in the good times and the bad times. And today, I want to share four habits from today's text that enable Paul to be happy no matter what. Amen? Number one, no matter what happens, you can be happy if you look at every problem from God's view. This is what we call big picture thinking. Paul had some pretty big problems. Sometimes they were coming on a daily basis, but verse 12 reveals the attitude of Paul no matter what. It says, I want you to know that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. You see, it doesn't matter what was happening in Paul's life, he always saw the positive. He was able to look at every situation. He's in a prison. He's chained 24/7 to a prison guard. He's been separated from his friends. He's been withheld from traveling and visiting all these different churches. Yet, he's able to see something good in the midst of that. He's just like God. God has that ability. It doesn't matter what is happening, good, bad, ugly. God has that ability to turn all things around for your good and for his glory. Amen. And Paul, he's trained himself to carry a certain type of attitude. Regardless of what happens to him, he's happy, he's joyful, he's able to look at every situation and draw something good from it. Let me ask you a question. What problems, pressure, and pain are you facing today? Right now. Your prayer needs to be, Lord, let me see it from your perspective. Paul's goal was to reach Rome. God's goal was to reach the entire world. And even though Paul did not know that at that point in time, a couple thousand years ago in that prison cell, he didn't know that's what God was going to use all those letters that he was writing for. Yet, because he carried this perspective, because he had this positive outlook, he was looking at things from God's view, it always caused him to be joyful and it always caused him to be happy. And when it comes to you and your problems and the pressures and the difficult people in your life, you have to understand that there can be so many reasons why God wants you to endure through all of them. For some, it's to develop the character that you need to develop in your life. And there's nothing like developing good, healthy character in the face of trials and tribulation. But it can also be to overcome certain weaknesses in your life. But it can also be to prepare you for things in the future. Things that God is calling you into. Things that he's preparing for you to do that you're not quite ready for it now. And you need to go through a few things so that you will be in due time. So there can be many reasons why certain bad things could be happening in your life, but our text identifies just two of them. When I face problems with faith, it's a witness to unbelievers, first of all. It's a powerful witness. In verse 13, Paul says that all the soldiers, all the prison guard knew why Paul was in chains. It was for the sake of the gospel. Now, what was happening was this. Every 4 hours, they would be rotated. It wasn't one prisoner, one prison guard staying with him for 24 hours. No, it was about six that was happening throughout the course of a 24-hour period. And I can tell you this. They would have been chained to Paul. And he wasn't going to change anything. He would have still been praying for the church. He would have been praising God. He would have been rejoicing. He would have been writing letters and doing all sorts of things. And I can tell you one other thing. I'm pretty confident he would have been witnessing to each and every single one of them. They can't even get away from him. Paul sees, you can run, but you can't hide. You're chained to me. So he would have been preaching to them. He probably led every single one of them to the Lord. Scripture tells us that so many of the palace guard came to Christ. So first of all, it's a powerful witness to unbelievers. But secondly, it's a powerful encouragement to believers. Paul says all the other Christians, as they were hearing about Paul in prison, yet he was still going strong. He was still rejoicing. He was writing letters. He was still encouraging all the saints. They gained in confidence. They became even more bold in preaching the gospel. Instead of being afraid that they'd be thrown in jail, they said, doesn't matter. We're going to rise up with boldness and keep preaching Christ. You see, your battle scars are usually a greater encouragement to other believers than all of your victories. And that's because everyone understands pain. Everyone understands problems. Everyone understands pressure. And when we see another believer, a saint, and they're experiencing some problems, but they're going strong. They keep turning up to church. They keep serving. They still got a smile on their face. It is such an encouragement to other believers. Amen. I remember when Mary and I first went into youth ministry. We were in youth ministry for 7 years. It was a great preparation for life. But we had no intention of becoming youth pastors. I was in the world of chartered accounting. I was working for one of the big accounting firms, Price Waterhouse. Mary was in the world of marketing, working for a large international French IT company. And we were happy what we were doing. But the church, you know, their youth pastor went, so they said, look, can you be a caretaker for 3 months? Oh, yeah, sure, we'll look after your youth for 3 months. And it was full of problems and all sorts of things. But that 3 months became 2 years. And the church said, nope, no money. No money to help do anything at all. So there were all these problems. There were all these pressures. There was no provision or, oh. And, you know, in that 2 years, I wanted to quit about 1,000 times. Only 1,000 times. But for some reason, oh, I'm so grateful to God, but we just stuck at it. We just stuck at it in that lion's den. But we made a decision. Okay, no provision. Well, we'll become the provision. So we sold our house and we used the proceeds to fund that youth ministry. And something amazing happened over the ensuing years. First of all, we had a few leaders and they became inspired. They saw what we were doing. They saw the struggles and the problems. We didn't even have a clue what to do. I didn't know how to preach. I didn't know how to do this pastoral stuff. I didn't know how to do anything. And we were making mistake after mistake. We made all these mistakes on the young people. And but they rose up. They were inspired. And this great leadership team developed. And when we did eventually leave, after 7 years, it was about 1,000 strong, youth and young adults. And you see, we faced so many problems, so much pressure, wanting to quit all the time. But because we stuck around and we faced it with faith, we became a witness for the gospel. Thousands of people got saved. But secondly, it also prepared us for something so much bigger. You see, 7 years after we left, that's when we came to Hong Kong. And I can tell you now, everything that we learned back in those days, we're applying it today. We started this church, there was just 4 of us. Mary, myself, Jake, and Mingy, wherever Mingy is. Just 4 of us. And but when you keep trusting God, He'll work in all things, and amen? So face problems, pain, pressure, even difficult people from God's perspective. Look at every problem from God's view. Amen. Number 2, no matter what happens, you can be happy if you don't let others control your attitude. There were 2 kinds of people in Paul's life. And there's only 2 kinds of people in your life. Those who are for you and those who are against you. From time to time, you might think there's people in between, but there's not. They're either for you or they're against you. even if it's on the inside. And in Philippians 1, 16 to 18, Paul talks about this. In verse 16, he says, some preach from genuine goodwill. So there were some people in his life that were preaching out of goodwill, and these people brought Paul so much joy. But you go back into verse 15, it says, but some preached out of rivalry. That word rivalry in the Greek, it's eros, and it means they love to argue. They're contentious. They're oppositional. Do you know those people in the workplace? Doesn't matter what you say, they always say the opposite. And you can come up with ideas, nah, won't work. They're always arguing, they're oppositional. I sometimes feel God puts one of these in every single family because in Mary's extended family, not direct extended family, there's a person in her family that, oh, so irritating. Ever seen your pastor? Oh, I won't go there. But they're so irritating. And there's one also in my family, my extended family. Some might even think it's me, but it's not. It's not. But you know, these people are arguing and they were contentious and they were opposing Paul all the time. In verse 17, it says, they preach with selfish ambition, seeking to stir up trouble for me. So Paul had those who were for him and there were so many who were against him. But look at Paul's attitude in verse 17. But what does it matter? At least the gospel is going out. What's happening here is this. Paul is not letting other people determine his attitude. He's not allowing other people to steal his joy. I like it in the NCV translation. It says, the important thing is this. The important thing is that in every way, whether for right or wrong reasons, the message of Christ is being shared. So I am happy. And I will continue to be happy. Underline, I will. Well done, it already is. I will. Because Paul isn't waiting for things to change on the outside. Paul isn't waiting for some good people to come into his life or some circumstances to bring happiness. He says, no, I will be happy. I'm making the decision now. Regardless of the circumstance, the setting, the situation, the people, I will choose to be happy. That's what he's saying. Happiness is a choice. It's not determined by circumstances in your life. And you have to make a choice that you will not let other people steal your joy. Every day, there will be things or people who will try to steal your joy. It could even be competition in the marketplace. They're doing so much better than you or your company. I can steal your joy. It can be other work colleagues. I used to have this work colleague in one of the accounting firms. He just did not like me. Can you believe that? Why could you not like me? Of all people, he hated me. He really did. And he was a thorn in my flesh. So you're going to have these very difficult people. And then you've got family members or past relationships you might have moved on from. And then you've got memories from the past. You know, the Bible says opposition and trouble, in other words, persecution, they're a guarantee. They will always happen. It's not a case of, well, maybe it will, maybe it will. No, it will happen. Jesus says in the Beatitudes, look at this in Matthew 5:10, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of the righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As a Christian, you know, some people hide their Christianity. Some people hide their light under a bushel. And you might not face some persecution. But when you let people know, hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm a believer. You will face persecution. There'll be some people who they just won't like you. And they'll stir you up just for that reason. But just don't let other people control your attitude. Amen? Paul says, be fearless no matter who opposes you. God is with you and he will save you. Do you know fear, one of the biggest causes of unhappiness? Fear is always on the inside. Not what's happening on the outside, but fear and worry. If you have fear and worry in your heart, it's almost impossible to carry a happy spirit. You just can't. But the other thing with fear and worry, they will block all your prayers. Fear and worry in your heart will prevent your prayers. And it's not because, oh, well, if you're going to be a fearful and a worried person, it's not God saying, well, I'm going to punish you and not answer your prayers. It's got nothing to do with that at all. God's not like that. It's because fear and worry, it actually prevents you from going to faith and trust. And it's faith and trust that opens up the windows of heaven so your prayers get through. You know, God is the key to fearlessness. Paul says, be fearless no matter who opposes you. Why? Because God is with you. So God is your key when it comes to dealing with fearlessness. And it takes us to our third habit. No matter what happens, you can be happy if you always trust God to work things out. Always trust God to work things out. When you develop this habit, and in your heart, doesn't matter what happens, whatever happens, you lose your job, someone steals something from you, or people are mean to you, or they leave your circle of relationships, or whatever, or things just don't work out, whatever happens. When you begin to exercise this habit, you're always going to trust God to work things out. You will see and feel fear and worry dissolving in your heart. And it's replaced with peace and joy. This habit is so important to you because habits take you there naturally. And therefore, whatever happens, when you've developed this habit, you'll naturally always go there. You'll just constantly trust God. Whatever happens. You see, bad habits like fear and worry, they will cause a loss of peace and joy. And they'll block your prayer. Prayer after prayer just gets blocked because of fear and worry. But this good habit of faith and trust, it will produce, as a byproduct, this peace and joy. But you'll see all your prayers getting answered. The windows of heaven are just opened up and they're getting through. And you see the goodness of God upon your life. And that's why it's so important to be developing this habit where you're trusting God all the time. Really, friends, you've only got two options in life. You're either panicking or you're praying. You're going to fear or faith, worry or worship. And I really, just on that point, worship, I really want to encourage church, be here on time so you're experiencing the worship. Get yourself organized, set your alarm, get your kids organized, get your public transport organized so you can be here where you participate in the worship. Worship is more important than what you think. Every time you come into this place, it's called the corporate anointing. And the presence of God is here. But you're not just singing by yourself. You're with other believers. You're breathing the same. You're in unity. Because you're singing the same words, you're breathing at the same pace. You're saying all the same words. There's this unity that is happening. And the Bible says, where there is unity, God commands a blessing. So there's a blessing in this setting when you're worshiping. And then what you're also doing is you're turning your heart towards God and you're saying, you're beginning to speak out. The songs are all scripture. We don't just make it up. It's the word of God in song. So your heart and your words are together. And what it does is it begins to dissolve fear and worry. Do you struggle with fear or worry? Get yourself into worship and it will help you, my friend. Believe me, it will help you deal with those things. But Paul says in verse 19, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul gives you four sources of strength. He says, I know. That is a confidence. He has this confidence because he is always seeing things from God's perspective. And when you see things from God's perspective, there will be a confidence that comes. You too will have a knowing. I know. I know it's going to turn out. I know it's going to be okay. Secondly, Paul says, there are other people praying for me. Now, that is a source of strength. When you know other people are praying for you. In this church, you will always have other people praying for you. First of all, I wake up early every single day because I take my job seriously. And I pray. I pray for this church. And when I pray for this church, that means I'm praying for you. I might not be naming your name every single time, but I'm praying for the church. And God knows your name. But we also have a prayer meeting every single week. I've asked people, wake up very early in the morning and come and meet me at this certain place. And they do. And we pray. We pray for you. So you have people praying for you. And that should be such a great comfort that you know there are people who are praying for me. Amen. Paul says, also with the Holy Spirit's help, the Holy Spirit is your helper. The Holy Spirit is your strengthener. Do you know how most of that help and strength, what it comes through? It actually comes through prayer. In Romans 8:26, Paul says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through us with wordless groans. This is actually called praying in the Spirit. It's one of it's a gift of a heavenly prayer language. And as a pastor for 30 years, I've discovered that most of the Holy Spirit's help in my life, I sense it during times of prayer. And every time, and particularly most of my praying is this praying in the Spirit. And I always feel joy and peace. So I can take that joy and peace into every day, into every setting. It doesn't matter what is happening. And Paul says, it will turn out for my deliverance. He has such a confidence. This is faith. He expects deliverance. He expects it. And you go back to Romans 8, in verse 28, it says, he continues, and we know that in all things, say all things. All things is all things. It's the good things, it's the bad things, it's the ugly things. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Who are they? That's those who are believers. Those who have been baptized. Those who have given their heart to Jesus. That's who this scripture is talking to. In all things. You know, whenever I'm feeling or facing increased levels of pressure or persecution or problems or difficult people, you know what I do? I just turn up the dial of my praying just a little bit. And it's not me trying to run around and deal with all these problems. I just let God do it for me because I have a knowing, because I have this confidence in the Holy Spirit, and I know that it will turn out for my deliverance. And because of these four things, Paul, he only has one response. He says, I will choose to be happy. And it's the same with you. When you have that knowing, you will choose to be happy. So no matter what happens, I can be happy. If I look at every problem from God's view, if I never let other people control my attitude. Number three, if I always trust God to work things out. And finally, number four, no matter what happens, you can be happy if you stay focused on purpose, not problems. Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Paul explains himself, and we read it. And I just want to read it once again, but in the Good News translation. It says, if by continuing to live, oh, I can do so much more worthwhile. I can do all this work for Christ. I want very much to leave this life and be with Christ. He just wanted to be with Christ. He was ready to go. But he goes, oh, but for your sake, so much more important that I stay, that I remain alive and I can encourage you. I can write letters to the church and I can be doing all this discipleship and everything that he was doing. You see, Paul, he had everything taken from him. He had his freedom taken from him. He had his friends taken from him. He even had his privacy taken from him. He had his ministry of traveling to the churches taken from him. But there was one thing they could not take from him, and that was his purpose. He knew what his purpose was. His purpose was always to serve God by serving other people. That's how you serve God. It's by serving other people. I want to give you a little happiness hint. From time to time, I'll give you a little happiness hint, a little HH, hashtag HH. Happiness does not come by helping yourself. It's by helping others. Let me give you a little secret. Most people who are unhappy, they think that happiness comes through self-gratification. And therefore, most people who are unhappy, it's because they're always living to gratify themselves. It's always about them. It's always about comfort and convenience for me, or pleasure, or possessions or position or prestige, but it's always based on me. So you're focused on yourself. But it's not true. People think, oh, well, if I just get more money, if I get more position, or I get more possessions, if I get more of this, then I'll be happy. They've got a certain level of that. Well, if I just get a little bit more. Oh, well, I've got to let me get out of this place and let me live closer to here and then I'll be happy. But it's not true. Happiness doesn't come from any of those things. Self-gratification is not the way to happiness. It's self-sacrifice. Look what Jesus says in Mark 8, 35. And this is reading from the Message translation. Jesus says, self-help is no help at all. You know all those self-help books? No, that's no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself, your true self. If you live for yourself, you will not be happy. Because as soon as a problem comes, oh, you'll be unhappy. Because you're always basing your happiness based on what's happening on the outside. But when you live for others, like the Apostle Paul, even in the midst of so many great problems and so much pressure and persecution and all these difficult people, he was happy. Happiness comes through service. Hopelessness comes through selfishness. I want to close with this sharing just a little bit about C3. You know, C3 Church is such a great illustration of this very point of happiness coming through service. You see, C3 doesn't exist for ourselves. We don't exist for ourselves. You might think we exist for you, but we don't. We exist to serve others. That's why we exist. And we call it the mothership. C3 Church, Oxford Falls, back in Sydney, Pastor Phil's church, the mothership. Pastor Phil has sent out hundreds upon hundreds of people like myself and Mary right around the world to start churches. And the church, Pastor Phil's church, is still only, I say only, about 5,000 people, which is not a huge church compared to some of the mega churches, but it's because he sent so many out. But around the world today, there's 100,000 people in C3 churches on any given Sunday. And they're always sending out pastors, always sending out people, always starting new churches. We find somewhere, as soon as we got the ability to do it, we find the right place, boom, we're going to start something. And every single pastor that is sent out, they know the pathway to building God's kingdom, growing the church, it's through self-sacrifice. We know it's going to cost us. We know it's going to cost our lives. I'm not saying we're going to die or anything. Who knows? We might. But whatever. But we're all going to die anyway. You know what I'm saying? We're all going to die. Do you know you're going to die at some point? Hopefully not soon. But what I'm saying is it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us our time. It's going to cost us our money. It's going to cost us just about everything we've got. But you see, happiness doesn't come through self-gratification. It comes through self-sacrifice. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Now, what about you? For me to live is, how would you fill in that blank? You know how the world does it? The world says, for me to live is money. But they're still unhappy. For me to live is success. But they're still unhappy. For me to live is fame or pleasure. But they're still filled with unhappiness. For me to live is prestige, status, power. But they're still unhappy. And I just want to let you know, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Money's not bad. Wanting to be successful, nothing wrong with that. Even fame. Prestige, nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves, status. They just don't deserve first place in your life. Only Jesus deserves first place in your life. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message and look forward to having you enjoy us next time. God bless.